It's Thursday, which means we're checking in with Chip Redman from the Kansas Mesonet. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Well, can't complain. Still adjusting like you, though, to that time change.
Yeah, we were talking off air and mentioned that I overslept my alarm 2 days in a row, and I'm pretty sure it's because of the time change messing with my internal clock just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just thankful that the time change doesn't mess with the weather.
Yes, that is a fortunate thing for sure. Well, we'll get started here. Roller coaster temperatures this week, but at least we missed the multiple rounds of severe weather, even though it was forecasted for the area. While March came in like a lion, how did Manhattan get so lucky to avoid all these severe storms?
Yeah, definitely going to emphasize the lucky component. And when we look at severe weather around the region, we had tornadoes in southern Kansas last week, and then this week we had very, very large hail around Kansas City, up to 4.5 inches in diameter. We dodged a lot of bullets, and all of that is due to, well, it's due to the cold fronts, ironically. The cooler air we've seen after these two systems has just been strong enough and early enough that undercuts these thunderstorms, and it shifts them all off to the south and east. And that leaves us kind of in the clear, more stable air. We had thunderstorms roll through here on Friday, and they were all undercut, and therefore there was no tornado threat with these storms. And even though there was a tornado watch out, that really helped alleviate the concerns. And so, not very often do we bank the cold air, but this is one of those cases where we have to. And when we look at going into the spring, we still have we're getting rid of La Nina in the Pacific, and so we're still expected to see a higher frequency of severe weather and potential for more tornado outbreaks as well in the plains and in the Midwest, which is where the second system really wreaked havoc with tornadoes across northern Illinois and Indiana. And so we're starting to see things come together like as we expected this spring, with definitely an earlier start, fast start, unfortunately, and resulted in fatalities with some of the tornadoes. But I expect that momentum to slow down at least briefly, but it's going to continue to go into the spring months. And we're not always going to have that cold front to help save us and shift those storms off to our south and east. So despite missing the brunt of it, let's take it as a good thing, and let's use it as an opportunity to be more prepared when our turn does come around.
So how does this weather pattern play into what we're seeing globally here with conditions, especially with what we're seeing with La Nina?
Yeah, so as that La Nina is diminishing in the East Pacific, you know, along the equator, basically colder water at the surface in the Pacific, is quickly transitioning to warmer water as warmer water from down below the surface starts to get brought up as the ocean circulates. And what happens with that is it tends to lead to a more active jet stream, and we get these big buckling in the jet stream that allows for a trough of low pressure or frequent low pressure systems to come across the Rocky Mountains and eject across the plains and move to the north and east. Now, that's not abnormal for this time of year, but these storm systems tend to be a little bit stronger as you break this La Nina down, and that allows more Gulf moisture to come northward. And especially early in the spring season, like now, if we're able to bring that Gulf moisture northward, it combines with really, really strong upper-level winds with those low-pressure systems. And we need strong upper-level winds to get the wind shear to create these severe thunderstorms. And once we add moisture to it, that's the perfect recipe for large, violent tornadoes and tornado outbreaks and in general severe weather. And so we see this transition of La Nina definitely favoring increases in tornado outbreaks across the plains in the Midwest. And I think we've already definitely seen an influx in that. The question is, when does that full transition get completed? When do we start to see conditions go to neutral in the ocean and maybe even El Nino? And some of the momentum in the models does say that we're going to switch all the way to El Nino, so warmer than normal water in the Pacific. And that would probably quickly bring an end to our severe weather season when that does happen. And so it's this early season I'm most worried about. I think if we can get through April without any potent severe weather, I think things will really slow down in that department as you get into the early summer, as an El Nino likely starts to emerge.
Well, while storms are in the rearview mirror, wind is the headline today. Can you tell us what we could expect with the red flag warnings in place?
Yeah, so we've got a red flag warning across most of the state, except for far southeast. You know, we look at that rainfall that we observed, at least the most recent round went to our south and east, and Manhattan missed out. And when it was, so people were starting to already lose their prescribed burns a little easier, and they were starting to see more fire behavior than they were expecting. And so we got really dry grass across the region and to our south and west. And when we combine lower humidity, like we're going to see today, humidity potentially down near 20%, maybe even a little bit lower. That's really, really dry air combined with a surge in warm temperatures. And we're going to see really strong southwest winds. We're going to get to 45, maybe 50 miles an hour out of the southwest. If we have a burn pile that's been burned any time in the last 3-4 weeks, or a prescribed fire that's been done recently, or just an accidental start today in grass, it is going to take off and be almost impossible to control. That vegetation, yeah, it has seen some moisture, but most of that moisture is gone with that low of humidity. It only takes about an hour to dry that grass out at 20% humidity. And so we're going to see really aggressive fire behavior, very, very difficult to suppress fire. And so we need to be really, really cognizant of our sparks today. Red flag warning means that, you know, the potential for fire to spread uncontrollably, and potentially it could risk impacting structures and those kind of things. We don't take the proactive steps to not have any fire starts in Kansas today, please.
Well, I know that, you know, you mentioned we've been riding this roller coaster. My allergies are feeling it right now, and we're going to see more warmth this weekend. But then there's talk of snow on Sunday. That can't be right, can it, Chip?
Yeah, it's quite the roller coaster we're on. You know, just looking at the vegetation, things are starting to green up. It's definitely got that spring feel. This morning, you know, we were right around freezing, and our average low temperatures are about the 30-degree mark right now. So we can still get colder weather. Our last freeze isn't until way into the spring yet. So we've got lots of time where we can see cold air. Well, we're going to warm up here a couple of days. We get a really, really potent cold front that's going to come through Saturday night, early Sunday morning. That's going to, again, bring very, very strong wind, especially on Sunday as temperatures plummet. But then there's going to be an area of snow that tries to rotate around this low-pressure system on Sunday night into the region. You know, I don't think we'll see anything of too much significance. Maybe enough to say it snowed. We might get some really light accumulation on the grasses. It's all going to depend on the soil temperatures. They're really, really warm right now. We're talking like an average 7-day average of 50 degrees. Technically, you could probably plant corn right now and get away with it. So it's going to be really, really hard to get accumulation on the surface. But it's still possible we can see snow into May. So I expect maybe a trace of dusting. And when we look at the forecast as a whole, that might be the only precipitation we get, maybe until the last week of March, or maybe even until early April.
All righty. Well, to wrap up, Chip, after a cool start to the week next week, how warm will spring break get, and will we make a run at any records?
Yeah, so record temperatures this time of year are starting to flirt with the mid to upper 80s, and we've got a very impressive high-pressure system that's developing in the western United States, which is going to bring a lot quieter air once we get over this cold start next week with those temperatures only in the 40s and maybe even see lows in the 20s. Temperature decline next week. We're going to likely be up to the 80-degree mark by Wednesday, and I think we're going to carry it into the weekend, next weekend. And as that high pressure from the west starts to shift eastward into the region, and that's going to really keep things quiet. We might get close with record highs, I don't think we'll quite get there, but this is a period we have to watch really carefully, because, you know, to talk about this fire risk, we've been seeing green up across the landscape, and that's helping remove some of this fire risk, but without any precipitation in the forecast, almost very, very warm temperatures, near record warmth next week. we are really going to up the game on fire weather, and we got to keep that in mind as we go through the rest of the month. And I honestly, looking out beyond, I don't really see a time of really colder than normal extended for more than a day, like we're going to see Sunday into Monday. And we're warm for the near foreseeable future.
All righty. Well, Chip, thanks for the time this morning, and have a great rest of your day and week.
Yep, you too.